Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso Steuer.
Good day, good morning, welcome, good afternoon.
Hi.
Wherever you are.
Yo.
To the Triforce podcast.
Yep.
Oh.
We're back.
Welcome back. Sips. Sips, how are you?
Oh, I just farted. Sorry. Did you hear that?
No.
I wonder
okay.
If the mic would have picked that up. It was huge. God. I actually had trouble sleeping last night. I was like so full of gas. You know when you uncomfortably roll over and you can feel like a trapped fart and you're like, man, I really need to fart, but I'm so tired. I'm just going back to bed sort of thing. And then... You leave it and leave it and leave it because you're sleeping. Wake up in the morning and it's just like this tremendous pressure for you to really let one go. So I usually wait for my kids to come into the room and then that's that's my greeting.
What did you have for dinner then with all this gas?
What did I have for dinner? I had a light dinner yesterday. I just had a bowl of cereal. It was a late one, you know, everybody had already eaten and stuff. So I was just like, whatever, I'll just have some cereal, I guess. That's it. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I didn't eat enough.
It might have been that. But also I find that I'm sort of getting lactose intolerant now. Like I can't eat a huge amount of cheese or milk, or I get really bad farts and bad poops.
Right.
So I have tea in my milk. I don't eat cereal and I don't have porridge or anything like that.
Right.
So I don't really have much milk, but if I eat like a really ripe brie or something, that's it. I'm off to the races. It's no good. So I wonder if as we get older, I know we have spoken about this before.
I think at this point it's safe to say we've spoken about everything. There's not one topic that we haven't covered.
I've got one for you. We're old.
We've covered them all.
I actually have three things.
Oh, my indigestion. Oh, can I just mention, by the way, before we start off on that topic, Sibs, I was listening to the Adam Buxton podcast.
Yeah.
Okay? Big fan of Adam Buxton. Always have been to the Show Show. And I always listen to the Adam and Joe because he's friends with Louis Theroux as well.
Yes.
Some nice crossovers with Louis Theroux.
Yeah.
Really good.
And I listened to the Louis Theroux Grounded podcast while lockdown was on and it was all right.
Yeah.
I think they're all pretty, that some of the guests he has are pretty uninteresting, but he's pretty interesting.
And, yeah. The one with Chris O'Dowd is very good. And there was
there was a Malcolm Gladwell one that was amazing.
The John Rodson one I also recommend.
Adam Buxton. Oh, sorry, yeah, Grounded. So anyway, there was some good Grounded, some good Adam Buxton. But he had Adam and Joe on at Christmas. I hadn't listened to this episode, and he just left in this fart that Joe did.
Yes, that's right. It was like
podcast,
a really sort of wet, gross fart, wasn't it?
Was like a brrrr.
Yeah.
And he had so many people who were like upset. They were like, I had to turn the podcast off. I was like retching. And I must just be these people must never fart because I think some people never fart. I am like a fart like
machine,
like expert machine.
Yeah,
I fart all the time. Like I think it's because I've had long problems with like food intolerances. I'm just a fragile fairy, weakling. And as a result, I've always had like just, I'm such a special, mummy's special boy, you know, sitting on the edge of the swimming pool because I've got ear infection, all this stuff, right? Throughout my whole life. And so
you did mean fairy as like the fae creature that lives in the forest.
Well, I've always been a skinny kind of like elven nerdy.
I would not sort of have you down as elven, but I feel like you're bigging yourself up a little bit more than you should be here.
It's fine.
I think of him more as the goblins that work in Saruman's pit making the Uruk-hai.
That's very kind of you. I'll take that. That sounds nice. I always find farts, and I've had this psychology and mentality that farts are always funny, right? Like, and it's always because it's a natural bodily process, and you can't help it.
I find
and they
farts
come
hilarious.
Out of like the yeah. weird. And they it can ruin a moment if you're not careful. Like, and so you just have to find it funny, not like. Well, vomit inducing. But I think it's a decision you can make too sometimes, right? Like,
sure,
I think a certain really wet, sloppy fart is a bit like, oh God.
Well, you know,
I didn't think Joe's one was that bad to warrant this sort of audience backlash and this big apology that seemed to come after it.
I think where like, I win is that my farts generally, I mean, I'm not saying all the time because there's some slip through the net, but for the most part, my farts are not wet and sloppy farts. They're like clown horn farts, you know? They just they sound like a duck or something, you know?
Or a
they
little,
just,
yeah.
They're very
or
clean.
A little bugle.
They have a very sort of funny trumpet sound to them, and everybody loves them. You know, I'm known in certain circles for being that funny farting guy. You know, I turn up and here I go. It's like breakout. Like, it's like I'm like fucking Louis Armstrong when I start farting. It's just like, you know, I'm playing the fucking trumpet there.
You know, I kind of hope this week we wouldn't just talk about farts. I don't know why I had such high hopes.
I've been at Sips's house, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think he has either let one rip or I've let one rip. And everyone has just, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like it's a good time.
I have a problem. I just... When something happens, I just talk about it. And I farted, and that was enough to get me on the subject. And now we're never getting off of it.
Yeah. It's been 15 minutes of fart talk already. I'm just...
Yeah. Sorry.
I thought we were better than this, lads. No. I had hoped
we're not better than this.
It's we understand.
This is
we found our fertile middle ground.
Yeah, this
shocking.
Is, yeah, this is it. All this right, is our bread and butter.
Let me tell you, we were saying we don't talk about new stuff. I have three things that I found out this week or that occurred to me this week. And actually a fourth if we want to go into it. And I'm just going to...
Blimey.
It's just a start for a conversation.
So is this because you're on your own this week?
No, Mrs. F is working from home.
Right.
As she has been since the start of lockdown.
Kids are away.
The kids are away. They're at my mum's for 2 weeks.
Mm. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's great. And we're just sort of, there's no washing
you've
up.
You've got time to
there's
think.
There's loads of time.
Like, 2 weeks.
You've got like,
yeah.
You've got like wonderful air and just the space around you and your mind is expanding into this space.
Jesus Christ.
And we're having stuff for dinner that they never eat. Just simple stuff like a stir fry. Right. We haven't had a stir fry in years because neither of them will eat a stir fry. Had a stir fry. It's like, this is amazing. You know, like they don't necessarily like.
What kind of sauce did you have on it?
I can't remember what kind of sauce it was. It wasn't like a satay sauce. Mrs. F chose it. It was nice. It was kind of light. It was very, very nice. On the first day, the Monday that they'd gone, we got Thai food in. They don't really like Thai food. So, yeah, it was just like...
holiday.
Literally on holiday. We went to Costco. We just bought loads of Prosecco and stuff. It was like, let's just have a really relaxing 2 weeks. And it's been very nice so far.
Fuck
and one
me.
Of the things that I was reading about, do you remember, you probably won't, a man called David Kang, name won't ring a bell. This was in Australia in 1994.
Kang!
fired two shots from a starting pistol at Prince Charles on a visit to Australia.
I don't remember hearing about this.
He fired a shot at him from a crowd, then he ran up onto the stage where Prince Charles was talking, fired another shot, and then was bundled on by security forces. So it was a starting pistol. He was doing it to protest the treatment of Cambodians in Australia at the time.
Right.
And he was sentenced to... I think he went to prison for some various things. But anyway, he got out with 500 hours of community service and stuff like that, which kind of surprised me.
Right.
He's now a barrister practicing law in Australia, perfectly stand-up regular guy. And he was like, it was very depressed. It was a long time ago and everything like that. But isn't that interesting to think that a guy who shot at the Prince of Wales with a starting pistol, fair enough, but it could have been a gun. He might have been shot dead by security forces on the spot if he was unluckier.
Yeah.
But second of all, then now he's like a respected barrister. I just thought that was such a strange turnaround.
People can change and people can get,
can
get
they?
Better.
I'm not sure I agree with that, honestly. I think
you think he was scum and now he's a barrister scum.
Yeah.
He just took on a scummy career.
I think he's
not changed.
There's clearly something in him that will cause him to do very irrational things, and I think that will stay with him for his whole life. I think people that you see day to day, people in the media, people in power and stuff like that are mental and they are able to hide it well. But deep down, they're crazy. and should not be forgiven in most cases for the shit that they do.
Yeah. That's Sips's case for criminal reform there. I think maybe in some cases, but I think that
shows
you've got to be crazy to become a politician for sure.
Well, you do, yeah. But I think to do something like that shows that you have to be a bit crazy, crazier than somebody who like shoplifts, for example.
But it was jaywalks. For a good cause, though. Do you know what I mean? It was doing it because he thought that the East Cambodian
sure
it was a protest.
I can
right?
appreciate like, that, but there's different ways stunt. Of going about things.
Well, what would you suggest he might have done?
Not that. For a starter.
Because he had
anything that wouldn't land you in jail.
He wrote a bunch of letters.
Another one would be good.
He'd protested previously. I'm not condoning what he did, but the fact is, I don't think Prince Charles is in any danger because it is a starting pistol. Like, it's not going to kill him. And
right.
I don't think it's even, unless you put it up against his eye,
I
don't
mean,
think it's going to
like
injure
him. It sounds like you're defending
him.
It a little bit, but...
No, I'm just saying, there are definitely worse crimes. It
sure.
wasn't just a prank. He was trying to draw attention to the plight of something, and it was a form of protest. Now, I condemn what he did. He absolutely deserved to be punished for it. I don't necessarily think locking him up for 20 years would have done anything. And if you look at it, he has now turned his life around. He may be an exception. You might be able to say, oh, he's still crazy. But I don't know. I think if we don't take into account people's mental state at the time that things happen, what we're saying is that people are born, they're the same until they die. And anything that they do along the way, regardless of circumstances, is on them.
I don't think a lot of people go through their life with the intent on growing and changing and developing and stuff. I think some people do, for sure. Some people reach enlightenment, but the vast majority of people do not.
You have a very dim view of humanity.
I do, yeah.
I think a lot of people don't intend to change, but I think they do change.
Sure.
I think people change dramatically, even in a 5-year...
Circumstance changes you more than your intent.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't set out to be like... I don't think people have the capability in most cases to realize the gravity of some of the things that they do and then put in work to make changes. Some people do, yeah. But I'm very cynical when that everybody can do that or has the capacity to do that, because I think we've proven time and time and time again that that is not the case, because there are
a lot
of...
I don't know if we have proven that that's not the case. I think we've proven that there are definitely people out there who are crazy and deserve to be locked up and are just straight up dangerous. There's no doubt about that. But I think that we have definitely not proven that people can't change or that the vast majority can't change, because... we just haven't been attempting to. Like, we've just been locking people up for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. It's not something that happens.
If we knew that, you know, like 100 years before this happened, right, there was another Australian who shot at another prince.
They hanged that guy.
Yeah, and they hanged him, right? And obviously he actually shot him with a real gun and wounded him.
And it was 1868, so a different time.
He was the second son of Queen Victoria. It was a different time, yeah. And so, yeah, like, obviously in those days, they didn't think that these... Obviously, that was a very different crime.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a political protest. The fact is that, you know, it was a political protest, it wasn't even a political protest, I guess. It was just an assassination. But if you could imagine someone getting into a situation where they've done humanitarian work, they've seen the plight of these Cambodians, and they're like, well, look, something has to be done. I've done all I can. I'm very frustrated. I'm going to have to do something extreme because, you know, my life is worth less than these people. And even if I'm put in prison, you know, at least it will draw attention to these people and they'll get some help, you know. And so you can see why people would take this relatively... sounds like actually a selfless action when you frame it like that. It sounds like something that they did, a very brave, heroic action, right? That you shouldn't be sentenced to jail for or hanged for, you know, or even, you know, be judged to be crazy for, you know, especially when you look at it like that, when these people could very easily have been part of a group that believe that what they're doing is right and all of their reasons are justified.
Sure, yeah.
And that they, you know, that is... Sure, you can look back at it through, you know, 20 years and say, well, okay, I was a different person then. This is how I got to that situation. Would I do it again? Probably not. you know, what were the reasons I did it valid? Probably, you know, it's an interesting thing that happened, but it happens again and again all the time, every day, with people doing actions that seem crazy, but actually are, in their mind, relatively justified.
Sure, but the impact that has on another person doing something like that is that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think, you know, whatever time he did for what he did was, I'm sure, fine. I think, you know, whatever, if he's reformed himself or changed and he's doing well now, good for him. Like, I'm not saying like condemn him to death or anything. I'm just saying skeptically, it's very rare that people change. And I think that whatever drove him to do that is probably still in there somewhere. And he would probably do something stupid like that again, potentially. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
Food
I would,
for thought. Food for thought for the
I
listeners.
Would avoid him personally.
Okay. So if you've ever got into legal trouble, you're not going to get him as your barrister.
No,
is that what you're saying?
I will pick someone else, I think. Yeah. All just right. just, right. just okay. to be safe, you know.
Topic number two.
That was a good talking point.
Thank you.
Oh, that got the blood
it
going.
Did,
holy
right?
shit,
Flex.
Man.
We almost fell out.
I almost went into a rage there. Holy crap.
Someone almost shot someone with a starting pistol.
All right. Topic number two. Complete change of subject. I watched, because we were just bored and wanted something to watch, I watched the film Skyscraper, a 2018 film. Have you heard of this film?
Nope.
I haven't.
It's got Dwayne The Rock Johnson in.
Oh, okay. Maybe I have heard of
him. He's like one of the biggest actors now, right?
Dude.
Like he makes a ton of money from acting. Yeah.
It's insane.
Literally and as a box office hit. Yeah. He's huge.
He's huge now, yeah.
So I don't know why. I like him. He seems a likable guy. He's certainly got charisma on screen.
He does. I love him.
He's sort of coined the term jabroni, really, when you think about
it. But he can also, because he's huge, he's sort of like Arnie for the 2020s, the this era. Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
He just seems to be a lovable guy. He's fucking huge.
Yeah.
And he can kind of do the clowny stuff, although I think he's a better actor than Arnie was, to be quite honest with you, by quite a chalk. He's very good in Jumanji, for example, which my kids love, the Jumanji movies, right? They love them. So this movie is a fucking piece of garbage, though, all right?
Okay. I mean, Arnie had a couple of stinkers, too, let's be real here.
Like, however,
for all of his good movies, there are about five stinkers, like, hidden under the floorboards there.
Jingle all the way, forget about it.
It's very difficult for you to, when you're an actor, I'm sure, to really know whether a movie's going to stink it up that bad or whether it's just going to be... You know, your agent's like, well, you're not doing anything for the next 6 months. This movie's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like brand deals for us, right? When we do sponsored things or brand deals and stuff, some are great and some are just kind of not great. But you don't know until you do them, right? I guess it's the same with movies.
It's about doing the work.
Oh, you know what? This might turn out okay. And then,
it just turns into
a massive steaming pile of garbage.
This was vaguely a remake of Die Hard. Okay, which, first of all, I have an issue with that.
Yeah.
It's directed by a guy called, and this is a name, Rawson Marshall Thurber, which is a heck of a name.
Yeah.
No
That's
idea
very
who this
American.
Guy is.
That's such an American name.
He's from California. So his other films include Dodgeball, A True Underdog Story. He directed and wrote that. That was Rawson Marshall Thurber.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Right? Then a movie called Mysteries of Pittsburgh, which I've never heard of.
No.
Then We're the Millers. Never heard of.
Okay.
Then he did Central Intelligence with The Rock, Skyscraper with The Rock, and now he's doing Red Notice with The Rock. Both, all three of those big budget action movies, which is weird given that Dodgeball was the first film he made, but whatever. So Skyscraper was a joint production with Universal Pictures and Legendary Pictures, okay? So Legendary Pictures is that big Chinese production company like Tencent. They make a shitload of movies.
Right.
This is what these American filmmakers are doing. They'll inject and insert Chinese characters and Chinese actors and Chinese settings into these films just to try to appeal to that vast market. So there's no reason for Skyscraper to be set in China. There's really none. It's just, you know, why not? We'll set it somewhere. How about China? We'll have a bunch of Cantonese speaking people in the film. And so it's partially subtitled because they're speaking Cantonese, but it's got all these little things in it that you know. you just know they've put in there to appeal to the Chinese market because they want their money desperately. Like, they desperately want to break into the Chinese market because it's so huge. So, for example, if you watch the film The Martian.
With Matt Damon.
With Matt Damon.
I like, is that the one where he uses his poop to grow plants on Mars?
Exactly the one.
I love that one. I thought that was a great one.
It was fun, right? Now, yeah. If you watch, there is a scene in that where their rocket blows up. The resupply rocket they're going to send to Mars blows up. And they're like, well, we haven't got a rocket now. And then it cuts to China, and we have these characters talking about how, oh, the Americans are going to need a rocket. It's a good thing we've got one standing by. If only our governments could get together and work it out, then we might be able to make this happen. And one of them goes, well, luckily we're scientists, so we don't have to worry about that. So the Chinese gracefully and graciously lend their rocket to the Americans. They're like, use this, our noble American friends. And I was like, this would never fucking happen in a million years. Don't bullshit us. Don't insert Chinese characters in just because part of the money came from China. They want to try and get some Chinese audiences to come watch the movie. So apparently it works. Budget for Skyscraper, which was abysmal, $130 million, took Whoa. $300 million at the box office, right? Despite the fact that most people have probably never fucking heard of it.
Man.
I guarantee you a ton of that money came from China. I think
$132 million in 2 weeks
I have a question for people who invest in movies. What are you doing? $130 million? We could have Dude Sim Alaska off the ground already with that kind of money. Come on.
I know.
So
is Dude Sim Alaska going to make $300 million at the box office is my
Easy.
Question.
Easy. Easy. Oh, there is an appetite for Dude Sim Alaska out there. Let me tell you, I've seen dozens of people saying that they would play this game. And that's like in my small corner of the world.
I just thought it was so strange that this film is awful. There's no plot for quite a lot of it.
Well, here's the thing. It's not, though. It's vanilla ice cream. It's the same movie that's been made. It's Die Hard. It's the same movie that was made before, and then before Die Hard it was another movie, and before that it was another movie that was generic.
How do you guys feel about that? Do you feel that they should redo these for the new generation, or do you think that the new generation should watch the originals?
Look how much money this made. It works. It's relatively inoffensive. Got big name actors. They've been inclusive and had China. It's just a generic plot where everyone can get on with.
Do you think that
it's
that's like going to be
Christmas cracker jokes?
You think when Zoomers become older, like in their 30s or whatever, they're going to look back and they'll be like, "Oh fuck, I love Skyscraper, man! You remember that? Remember every Christmas they used to put Skyscraper on, and we used to watch it. Oh fuck, that is the best action flick I can think of." And then we're all sitting here thinking, like, "What the fuck?" Like
we
grew up with like fucking Die Hard and like Lethal Weapon and shit like that,
right?
You know, and it's just
I don't think they will, because the thing with Die Hard is it had people still talk about Die Hard now.
It's amazing.
Everybody knows
it's amazing,
right?
Yeah,
because it's a very good movie. That's what it takes us down the test of time. It's not that it's like there are some films that we're nostalgic about and shows that we're nostalgic about that were obviously crap. There were also things that just were good, and they stand the test of time. There are plenty of movies from my parents' era that I still watch and think, yes, this is still good. And there were a lot of awful shit ones as well.
Yeah, some are
no one's going to look at this in 30 years' time and be like, oh man, let's put Skyscraper on again. I love that movie. Because there's nothing to it. There's no standout lines or
moments.
They
might be in China.
They
though.
Didn't have a Yippee-ki-yay Mr. Falcon or anything like
nothing,
that?
Nothing.
Oh, Yippee-ki-yay Mr. Falcon.
Trying to censor myself a little bit. I don't want to swear too much. So.
It was an homage to Die Hard if you'd only heard about the plot of Die Hard and hadn't actually watched it. That's the best way
I
can put it.
I think that we're bringing up new generations of people who... It's been long enough with Star Wars 2 and with Die Hard that the generation has moved on, and the next generation has come through and don't want to watch black and white movies. They don't want to watch movies from the 90s, and they don't want to watch the old Star Wars. They don't want to watch the old Die Hard. They want to watch the new one.
I feel like they should.
And they
want to
see it in a modern day.
The old ones are good. Honestly,
I think you're being unfair to young people.
Maybe I am being unfair, but I don't know. Like I remember like an old sci-fi idea that once we'd made enough really good movies and enough really good TV shows and enough really good books, you could put someone on like a trip, like a spaceship to a different galaxy, and for their whole life they'd never be bored. You know, there's always a good movie for them to watch every day, or something good. We've made enough content.
You need more than that.
That's like of a certain standard. As humans,
you'd get bored.
We don't
you'd go
need
crazy.
It to be any better.
Right? Well, yeah, I mean, it's just an idea. I don't think we're realistically. Yes, human beings are not meant to watch telly for 100 years.
You need to touch the earth, and you need to also interact with other humans.
Yeah,
as well.
But exactly. But I mean, the
hopefully
idea
in
is
a reasonable
that, like,
way, and not with a prank gun.
But there's this idea that we'd eventually have. I guess there's so much stuff that's everything we have though is built on previous stuff, and also often copies or similar or borrows things from other things that were good, or tries to be successful by ripping off, if not ripping off, borrowing stuff. It's like, well, you know, this video game is a little bit of Assassin's Creed and a bit of Prison Architect and a little bit this and a little bit that. And, you know, you can, and movies are the same. We know even this movie is clearly, you know, we're saying it's a cliched version
right,
of Die
right,
Hard.
Right.
Fair enough, like, but like I feel like there's only so many things you can do and still be appealing to that sort of family values.
Excuse
but also
me for
watchable.
A second here, bitch.
I don't know.
What? Are you having a dig at Dude Sim Alaska? Because the whole idea behind Dude Sim Alaska is to take a bunch of ideas and combine them into one big idea, which I thought was a great idea.
I think you're being a little delicate and sensitive about your baby. Right. I don't think Lewis was hinting at that at all.
Okay, good.
But is what you try to say you're cherry picking the best ideas? Because a lot of people think they're doing
some
that,
of the most successful games are that. WoW is that basically, right? It's just WoW is just a game of other games, but polished up and
I think that's the nature
better.
Of a lot of entertainment. Is it yeah. feels like we started off at the birth of video games with a very rough rock that was still fun, and we're gradually chipping off. Bits, keeping aspects of the rock that we like.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I suppose I'm thinking of rocks because I'm looking at a picture of Dwayne The Rock Johnson on my screen.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche rote Tafeläpfel aus Deutschland. 2 Kilo für nur 1,79 Euro. Oder Mini-Roma-Rispentomaten. 300 Gramm für nur 1,11 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Speaking of The Rock, I sorry to take us off topic, but I have made a discovery this week, and my discovery is that the world that we live on is beautiful, and if you're too lazy to leave your house to experience it, get the new flight simulator, because holy crap, it looks great. You can see some sights you've never seen before. I flew over Alcatraz yesterday, okay, and then I did a stunt fly underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, which had a invisible wall under it, which caused my propeller to stop working, and I crashed. But I had a really good time.
I saw the clip as well. That was
right over the rock. Yeah, we were doing a.
I've got a challenge.
I
for
also
you.
Saw Sips, not Sips. PFLAX crashed into the Shard.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that.
It felt like a really terrible act of terrorism.
Yes, that was.
I couldn't fly the plane anymore. I
was
growing bored.
Else. He only got 500 hours of community service for that one because
amazing.
He was trying to make a point.
You've been a pilot for about 2 hours. And you're like, I couldn't be asked to fly this plane anymore. I had grown bored.
I did manage to take off. Here's a challenge for you, Sips. On the runway at the Southampton airport that you can take off from,
right.
Try and get a 747 off the ground on that airport. It took me about half an hour. I was able to do it. It is possible.
Okay.
It's a very short runway.
Yes.
You might clip a few things on the takeoff, but it is possible.
Okay.
Give it a go.
Okay, I'll try.
I flew along Bournemouth Beach. I didn't know the South Coast as well as I thought I did, because I was like, oh, is this Bournemouth? And everyone was like, no, I think that's Christchurch. And then I was like, where the hell are we? I was looking for the pier, Bournemouth Pier, Boscombe Pier. They're not on the map. Like, they're just not there. And for some reason, at that exact point, the Google Maps satellite view is there's a huge line running along the South Coast. It obviously is like they took the satellite view at one point and then at another. And the fields, half a field is grown, half a field is obviously fallow. And I was like, oh, man. And I got kind of lost. And none of the buildings look anything like what they should look like. So
no.
I was completely flummoxed.
So the thing with Microsoft Flight Simulator, the new one, is that it uses this clever technology to read through all of
it's like an algorithm.
Map data, satellite map data, right?
Yeah.
And then the AI basically renders out what it thinks everything should look like.
Yeah.
But obviously it doesn't get it 100% right. So what they then have to do sometimes is they have to go back through parts of the map. They almost have to like cordon off a part of the map to say, don't update this because right. we need to add some custom assets in, right? So like if you go to Rome, if you go to like Tokyo, there's some really big cities where you can tell they've added sort of like custom buildings in because the AI would just render them as like a 1990s office block right, from right. Slough.
Like Buckingham
which,
Palace.
Which happened to Buckingham Palace, yeah. So I think their team just need to sort of get around to some of these places because some of them okay. just aren't done.
Because that was the other reason I crashed into the Shard.
Yeah.
I'm flying along. The London Eye doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's a patch of white on the ground. And I yeah. thought, well, at least we'll see St. Paul's. St. Paul's was completely flat. There was nothing.
Well, yeah, they just haven't done London for
so
some
at that
reason.
Point, so I thought, Buckingham Palace is like a block of flats.
London yeah. happens yeah. to be one of the most important cities throughout history, one of the oldest. You can say what you like about London. We're here to stay. We matter. London matters.
I don't know if you're supposed to fly over it, though.
Fuck yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. New York City looks great. They've done a really
yeah,
good job on it.
Yeah, congrats. They fucking,
course.
Yeah, let's look after New York City. What about London, motherfuckers?
Well, they didn't do London, but they did add a whole bunch of points of interest in the state of Florida for places like, you know, some town with like 500 people in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, it pisses me off.
Well, I mean, I think it's just unfortunate that they probably had an idea of the kind of things they wanted to get ready for launch, but obviously not everything is done. And I'm sure that they're going to be updating it or whatever. I don't work for Microsoft or anything, by the way. I'm just saying.
Well, the people who do,
it's a great game so far.
To 500 hours of community service.
Yeah, I agree. So there are parts of the game that feel like, I went to Norway yesterday, which is beautiful. In the game,
Norway
and probably
is
in real life too.
It is beautiful.
But there's like some major height mapping issues where there's like these like fucking, it almost looks like these like little volcanoes coming with like the texture bleeding off the side and stuff. I think they just got to go through and fix some of that stuff.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
not too good. It's not too bad. I mean, but holy crap,
really
what a game! It is fucking nuts. It's just like I'm not too interested in the actual flight sim part. You know, like. I just have it on like assisted. I like flying around, but I don't want to like get, you know, nerdy with like the controls and having to flick every switch and stuff. Like I just want to take off, fly around, use the drone and look around. Like I treat it like a more interactive Google Earth or something like that. You know what I mean?
That is interesting. Cause I had a comment in my chat yesterday that said that you had called me a big noob when it came to flying.
Yeah,
I'm not using assist, motherfucker. I'm flying that thing. I'm raw dogging that shit.
Good for you, man.
I'm doing the trim.
You know what? I didn't even say that. So you need to check your sources. Like you can't just believe everything that chat says to you.
True, it's true.
I never said that because I got bigger fish to fry, Flax.
Fucking
all
right. That's what I thought. I thought you're not going to be like, what do you care about? How
I don't
I'm
punch down,
flight,
Flax. I don't punch down. I punch up.
Right, fuck you. How about this? Fuck you.
Okay.
Stay in your fucking garage, you farting bastard.
Jesus Christ.
I've been to fucking Jesus. Norway. I've seen it with my own eyes. You're flying over it in a flight assisted flight sim. I'm
raw dogging that shit. Well, I can't travel right now. This is the best I can do, okay? Jeez.
Listen up.
I did want to fly. Can you fly over Everest? I did want to do that. But
I
thought, I
think so.
I don't want to get there. I don't want to get there, and they haven't fucking
okay,
hype mapped.
So the popular places that everybody wants you to fly to, if you play this game, if you stream
Japan
this game
seems
to
be a big one.
An audience. No. This is the top three, okay?
Okay.
Number one, North Korea. Everybody is obsessed with it for some reason. But apparently it's super underwhelming. It's just like sparse and there's just not much there or whatever. Okay. Number two, Area 51. Everybody wants to fly around Area 51 for some reason. And then number three, tied at number three is fly over Mount Everest, but also Chernobyl, which I did yesterday. That was kind of cool, actually.
Did you see it?
Yeah, but it's not. It's got the same sort of issues that London has in that you can't see the big shield that they've built.
Right.
It's just got like I think some of the satellite data is older.
Yeah.
Pripyat looks cool. It's actually the AI rendering. It does look like abandoned and overgrown and stuff, which is pretty neat. But the actual like site of the power plant is not updated.
So here's my concern is that they're gonna go through and texture all this shit, but they're gonna charge you another fucking $50 or whatever.
Well,
to get the textures.
I'm not sure though. I think they charge you for new planes and like skins for planes and shit like that. That's part of the DLC that the old flight sim had. Locations and stuff, I'm not sure. I think you can get, I think there are asset packs that are community created as well that you can get.
That would be nice. Because I would actually quite enjoy flying over it if I was like, yes, this is actually what it looks like. I realize that's a lot of work.
No, but there are.
They don't bring out a flight sim every year. So this is going to be here for years.
This is going to be around for a decade at least. The technology is insane.
It is very pretty.
It is, And the fact that you can just on the fly change the time of day, add clouds, add weather and shit like that is like, oh my God.
What I want to have is scenarios like the when you had to land on the Hudson. Like yes. Shit like that. I think I want that kind of scenario.
Again, I think that kind of stuff will probably be DLC, you know, like scripted sort of stuff, like challenges and shit like that. I'm guessing that'll come bundled in packs of DLC.
Did you get in trouble with the air traffic control? Because I didn't realize that when they give you a message, you have to go, yep, received that. So they were like, they tell me something like, all right, you're clear of the airspace. I took off at Heathrow and flew right back over the runway and they were straight on the radio. Please don't do that. And I was okay. And then they were like, clear the airspace and everything. And they were like, all right, you're clear from the air traffic control tower. We're handing off now. And they're like, a minute apart. Did you get that? I was like, oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. This is Cactus 37842. Received.
Yeah. You go to the AI settings and you can get the AI to just take over comms and stuff.
They're going to bring out multiplayer. So you can do it with a friend as a co-pilot. And me and Mutt are going to do that. That's going to be fucking hilarious.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's pretty
good. All right. So here's another topic to talk about for you.
Right.
Hang on. Before we go, I'd love to know if anyone in the audience has the answer to this, because it's something that's always interested me. Like, I love Google Maps, and I sometimes find myself just like looking around on satellite imagery.
Find yourself Googling. You're just Googling away sometimes.
Before you know it, you're like, I wonder where that is. And then you go there and you're like, oh, there's a little town called Honeydew or whatever in California. And you look in there and you zoom in and you see some people's farms and stuff. Or you look at something and you zoom in and you're like, oh, that's a weird grid. And you zoom in and you realize it's just farms. And you're like, oh, damn, where am I?
Right.
Like Northern Canada or somewhere. Like, fuck, there's loads of farms. I wonder what they're farming. I wish there was like a way that you could... Or sometimes you see weird stuff like on there. You see like some weird circle or some weird shape or some weird lake or some weird holes.
Right.
I have no fucking idea what like some of this stuff is and why it's like that or what it is. And I wish there was some sort of interesting like explanation or Wikipedia or Reddit or something where people talk about stuff they found on Google Maps.
Oh, I guarantee you there's a community
Google Maps,
somewhere.
Google Maps has that built in, doesn't it? You can sometimes people can like tag parts of the world with pictures and they link off to Wikipedia articles and stuff like that.
Sometimes, but not always.
No, but like, I mean, if you're looking for like a fucking hole in the middle of a forest like that nobody's ever been to, then yeah, sure. But if you go to places that are more or less well-traveled, that you'll find lots of information. Like,
all right, I got right something for you to fly over, Sips. I got something for you to fly over. I would like you to fly over the Diavik Diamond Mine in the Northwest Territories.
Yeah, we've talked about this
before. Right, okay.
We have.
In the Northwest Territories.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a flight.
No, I mean, I need to go up that way anyway, because I need to survey Alaska to find out where Dudes in Alaska is going to take place. So,
okay, that's
a
great idea.
My plan was to take off from Anchorage and just survey the land, find a good spot to pitch up and carve out and have the AI create the game space for the player.
Right.
Very technical.
Well, I would recommend, while you're up there,
yeah.
I know it's away, but have a little look at the Diavik Diamond Mine. Because I flew over there on my way to LA one time.
Right.
And it was mind-boggling.
Right.
And I recommend checking it out. I'd be intrigued to see if they've actually rendered it. I doubt it, but it would be interesting to see.
Well, some places odd, that they have rendered, which you wouldn't maybe think that they had, considering they haven't even done Buckingham Palace or most of London.
Right.
I flew to Mont-Saint-Michel yesterday, the north coast of France. Very beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
It's not far
that
from
has all been
Jersey,
done. They've done it, and it looks really cool when you fly
How
over.
How are they doing that and not St. Paul's? Unbelievable.
I don't know. It's weird, because I think when you look on the map and you see like the little blue pin drop thing, and it's like a point of interest, I think those are the ones that they've done pretty much. So like if the game directs you to a location, it's more or less because it's done. And then you'll notice like around London that nothing is
right.
You don't get
Mont-Saint-Michel
any of those.
Is really cool.
Yeah, Mont-Saint-Michel is amazing. Yeah.
Really cool.
All right. So there is a thing that you can do on the internet called WebSDR. Okay. And it's a basically you go onto this website and it's got radio receivers all over the world that right. have a little website. And you can go to there on the web and tune and listen to the local radio stations, which sounds incredibly nerdy and weird, but I like to do it just to see right. what's going on. Like I'll go, there's tons of them all over the fucking world. And one of the things that happens is when you're tuning around, sometimes you'll find some lads on a ham radio having a chat. It's quite weird because they tend to be middle-aged guys. They tend to have jobs where they're on their own a lot and they've got their ham radio going and they're just having these quite sad conversations. And I kind of thought that's like the Triforce podcast before the internet was just three blokes talking, but they'd had no idea if anyone was listening in. Here's me listening in on this web interface, listening to them talk. Right, Pete, I understand you had to take the car in to be repaired. Oh, yeah, cost me, I think it was £80. Hold on, I'll get the receipt. It was £90. Unbelievable. Look at that. Well, you have a good evening then. And then they'll sort of have a chat. And these two guys I was listening to.
What's wrong with it?
They're good.
What's wrong with the car?
No, it doesn't matter. That part of the conversation I didn't hear.
You're near Taunton, because if you bring it into there's a garage where my mate Joe do it cheap. What's wrong with it?
Then there'll be like a 1 minute pause. Sorry, Dan, I was getting a cup of tea. What's that?
What about radio etiquette, though? I thought they were supposed to, like, say, copy and over and all that. A large marge, this is Pee Wee Herman, copy. Like, I thought they had to have all the radio stuff
in
there.
That's only if there's going to be other people on the frequency.
Oh.
That would be the etiquette. But these guys are literally ham radio and they just like they have a frequency that it's almost like having a WhatsApp group, right?
Yeah, so it's like a bulletin board service or something.
So it's like you just go on there and say, and these guys leave their ham radio on all the time on that frequency ready and their mates know what frequency. So it's like a chat room, you know, it's literally like you drop in on that frequency and you say, all right.
It's like having a walkie-talkie.
Yeah. Dan, you there? It's Pete. A minute goes fast. All right, Pete. Yeah, Dan here. How's it going, mate? You know, it's like that. It was quite sweet and a little sad. I thought it was quite interesting.
Like it's like he's underneath the car and he has to like wheel himself out and, you know, go over to it, Jesus. Take the gloves off.
Exactly. But these two guys, they were trying to say goodbye. And it was like he'd say, the guy would go like, well, it's getting late now, Dan. I'm going to call it a night. I've got to get up early tomorrow. All right, I'll see you tomorrow, mate. Yeah, bye, Dan. I'll see you tomorrow, mate. You know, that reminds me. Do you remember last August? And then that'll go into conversation that lasts another couple of minutes. The other guy's desperately trying to get off the line. The other guy's just not getting it. I was like, just change the frequency, dude. Just pretend some transistor blew up and just go like, you're breaking up there, Dan. Oh, I'm losing the signal. Like, just go to bed. But he was so polite, he wouldn't end it. It was just bizarre.
I sometimes get a text from someone, right? Like late at night.
Is it me?
And
it's me, isn't it?
No, not usually.
No. Okay.
But well, I get a WhatsApp message, right? And it'll be like a question, something important, or I don't know, something important. And I'll see like a notification for it that doesn't come up as me having read it, you see?
Right.
So usually the notification is like enough to make me realize that I don't want to.
You don't want to handle
deal
this
with
now,
this.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Or even reply to it. So I just pretend that I have, obviously I don't open WhatsApp and read it because then it would show that it had been read.
Yes.
So I just let them think it hasn't been read and that I've gone to bed.
Very sneaky.
And then, but morning, what you're doing is you're WhatsApping all of your bitches from different area codes all night long and they are none the wiser. Clever.
Exactly.
Clever.
That's how I do. That's how I, he sips it onto me. I'm sure Clever. Everyone else does that as well. It's not just me.
Nope. I don't. I'm perfect.
I don't try not to take stress. I try not to check my emails after about 9 o'clock at night as well, because you know it's not always going to be something to worry about.
I never get
it. Like sometimes
so
it's
not
like
a problem for me. People rarely make contact with me. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm an asshole or
there's always people
unappealing.
Some sort of problem. Some people have always fallen out over something or someone's got a problem with something. And it's always usually a trivial or an easy explanation. Mm. But there's certain people who are like, you know, and I'm just like, sometimes I just don't want to join them in the worrying about it. I don't know, after like a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's what happens when you're the boss, though.
It can be quite stressful. Mm. So, you know what you need to do, Lewis? You don't want to read at midnight and you're like up until 3 a.m. worrying about it. It's like,
you need to insulate yourself, right? You need to, that's why you have to have a hierarchy. Below you. So that you only talk to one person. And that one person can be trusted to filter out all the nonsense, right? That's why they have, you know, like a corporate structure, for example. CEO doesn't want to have to talk to like the tea lady, you know, she has to talk to her superior who then talks to his superior who then talks to her superior who is then the right-hand man of the CEO. Lewis.
So do you think one of the reasons people don't message you, Sips, is that as you stated earlier, you're a big deal. And so people seem, same with Lewis, I think, although because he works in an office, people feel they can approach him. Because you work alone, people are maybe intimidated to contact you and they think, I don't want to bother him.
I think they think this guy is like that guy from Lost with the eye patch. He's a bit of a lone wolf. He's a bit dangerous. I'm not too sure how to handle him. So they just think, I'm just going to stay away.
Right.
But actually, I'm a young, lovable, huggable type of guy. But they just never take the time to get to know me like that.
The gruff exterior that you present.
The gruff exterior puts them off.
If they could get past that, they'd find a heart of gold.
That's right. But then also, I don't want them to find that side of it because the news will spread like wildfire and all of a sudden I'm going to be like some, you know, Mother
Teresa
figure.
You'll be snowed in,
Everybody's going to be wanting a piece of me because, you know, I'm like this like really, really nice, decent guy. But, you know, I need to make sure that nobody finds that out about me.
Okay.
So that's why
That's very smart.
A gigantic prick. I think it puts people off.
I think that's how bosses and owners maintain not being bothered by day-to-day shit.
Yeah.
By just, someone comes in with some day-to-day shit, get your analyst your goddamn self, what am I paying you for, Johnson? You know, it's like, if you give them shit about a few things, they'll handle everything else. And you can be like, phew, I don't have to worry about profits this year. That's not my
problem.
You
gotta make your life easier, right? You gotta cut down the amount of, you need some interaction, but there's such a thing as too much interaction. Mm. You know what I mean?
I do.
When somebody's coming into your office when you're in the middle of doing like a huge deal and they're like, oh, you know, there's a drop of urine on the toilet or something. You just think, well,
not my problem.
That's not my problem. Yeah. You know?
You know, what my favorite headphones broke yesterday just as I finished playing Microsoft Flight Simulator. They were, only one ear was working. They went from
I heard that you rage quit out of Flight Simulator.
No, I was just bored.
Oh, right, okay.
I was just bored. And I mean I crashed into the shot. I was like, I was annoyed that they hadn't rendered London properly because that was the one thing I really wanted to fly over was London.
Yeah.
And Bournemouth. And I was like, those are the two things that I really want
to fly over the place that they live currently and then the places they used to live, right?
Bournemouth, I understood. Like, that's a small town. It's not a big deal. They'll get to it eventually, right? But London, to not even bother with that, that pissed me off. So I was like, if I can't even fly over the city I've lived in most of my life, what's the point? So I just thought, I can't be bothered. And the height mapping thing, I kind of thought they're not there yet. I'll try it in a year or so and it'll be much
better. It's early days. Sure, yeah, it'll be much better for sure.
But as soon as I turned the game off, my headphones stopped working. Only one ear was working. The left ear was working. My beloved Biodynamic DT990 Pro headphones, which I've had for a few years, best headphones I've ever owned. And I thought, oh, it must be a software thing. Fucking Microsoft, typical. It wasn't. It was a hardware thing. They chose that exact moment to die, kind of tainted my opinion of the game because all I can think of is that I had to buy another pair. I'm using my old headphones, which are super uncomfortable. And so it kind of affected my enjoyment of the game somewhat. Unfairly, but it did.
Yeah, that them's the break sometimes. Yeah. Guys, I have some big news, actually, which I should have shared at the start of the podcast, but I was too busy talking about farting and getting carried away about that story about the protesting pistol man.
I've just been reading a Wikipedia article about Lost for the last 20 minutes.
Wait.
Quick after you mentioned it.
We've got to hear the story. Go on,
Sips.
I got a new car.
Oh!
What?
Yeah, I picked it up yesterday. It's not brand new. It's used, but it's almost new.
Electric?
No.
Oh.
You said you're going to get an electric car.
We're not there yet.
The technology isn't there. It's like VR helmets. No, it's not quite there.
It's not the right time. for my family to get an electric car. We still want to get one.
On Jersey.
We're going to get an electric car. We've got big plans. We're going to get an electric car. We're going to get solar panels on our roof. We're going to go the whole nine yards. But 2020 is not the year that we're going to be doing
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah, fair. Okay.
We're deferring. Okay. We're going to delay the plans a bit because there's other plans afoot. So we've had to settle in the meantime for a 2015 Renault Scenic.
What's it like?
Beautiful. It's fucking nice. It's really nice. It feels like it feels a lot newer than my old car, which was
2015 Renault Scenic.
2001.
Oh, it's a real dad car. Oh, it's a family car. Yeah, yeah.
It is. Yeah,
it's a dad car.
Yeah. It is a dad car, but it's got air conditioning that works, which is great.
What was your old car then, if it didn't have air conditioning?
It's a 2001 Renault Scenic, which did have air conditioning. It just didn't work.
Ah.
It was broken.
Yeah, your old car was a piece of shit, Sips. Holy
shit. It really was, yeah. We finally got rid of it. It was on the brink of death, so we had to act fast.
It was really hanging on by its fingertips.
The thing is, like, I get quite attached to my cars. Like I
don't know though. Sips's car was like a fucking shit apocalypse pickup car that you used like to transport you from a house to a gas station and you abandon it.
I'm not kidding. That was my first car and I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. I liked it as well. I liked my car too, but it was time to move on. You know, like everything, all things must pass, right?
And don't be sad. It was time for the car. That thing was shit. I hated it.
No.
Yeah.
Cars have
you'll
a
love
little,
the new one.
Cars have Lewis, a little personality.
You will love the new one, okay?
Have you ever owned a car,
has,
Lewis?
The new one has a computer in
cars.
It. It's got like fucking built-in TomTom satellite navigation, which I don't need over here. I drove it this morning. I had to go run an errand. Get into the car.
Drive an errand, I guess.
The car picked up my phone on Bluetooth, okay? This is new to me.
Hello, Chris.
And I was able to listen
Welcome to the car. Yeah,
welcome to
Would
the
you like to listen to the Moana soundtrack again?
No.
You've listened to it for 57 times in the last 24
no longer,
hours.
No longer. Now, we're all about Ghostface Killa artist radio on Spotify. Thanks to the power of Bluetooth, I can listen to internet music in my car.
I'm amazed that this is like
you can tune in to the ham radio.
This is new for me. This is new for me.
It's exciting when you have this stuff. Like I remember that I've got a Qashqai at the moment. It has all these features you're mentioning, and I love them all. They're great.
Yeah,
but it's all old technology because it's not a new car. But it feels so exciting to have that.
It's
when
new
your
for
previous
me
car didn't have any of those fucking things.
It was a real old banger,
right?
Like, with nothing. Like most of the windows didn't even work.
Right.
Like, we had these electric sunroofs, and they were jammed. They didn't even work. Like it was just the worst.
I had a CRV, which was a Honda CRV, a great car. They're really, really good. But yeah, it just had a CD player. It had no. Yeah. There was like in order to get your phone to play music through the car, we had to buy. It looks like a cassette tape
with a cord.
It had
on
a cassette tape thing with a USB lead, right, and plug that in, and that had to plug into the cigarette lighter, the socket for that via a special adapter. So you had like this mass of wires just to make music come out of the car. One of the speakers didn't work, so the music only came out of my side. And it was all these little things you just get by. It's like you just learn to put up with your car's foibles and the things that it's not great at. And that's why I think that people, we do imbue our car with personality. We do love them because they do their fucking job. They may not do it flashy style, but when you get in your car and you turn the key and it starts and it takes you where you want to go, it's you love it. It's reliable, dependable, and
it is. Yeah,
there's nothing better than a really reliable car that never lets you down.
Yeah, well, my old car felt like that, but the new car I think is going to be pretty good too. We like it so far.
It's nice if they can do.
It's
both.
Got some nice nice features that we're not used to that we're really excited about. Like we took the kids to feed the ducks yesterday because my wife wanted to like test out the car,
right?
Because she needs to drive it too, and she, you know, she was just like, "It's new. I'm not used to it, or whatever. Let's just go for a drive." I was like, "Okay," so we went for a drive, and it's got like built in, you know, like sun guard things like into the windows,
right?
That sort of like roll
you just
down,
draw them down,
yeah, they roll down into the door and stuff. So my kids were like playing with that, like they had all these buttons, the back.
It's not a toy.
Well, yeah, I was saying that a lot as well. It was getting kind of annoying because we just got the car.
I know.
And, we've had the car for an hour and it's already trashed. Like, what's going on? I was getting so pissed.
I knew it.
I was getting so pissed off.
I'm not going to be able to tell any difference from the old car when I get there.
No, it's already, because we went to go feed the ducks, it was all muddy. So, like, the fucking floor of the car is already plastered in, like, dried up mud and rocks and stuff.
Well, I'd like to say to everyone listening to this while driving, give your car's dashboard a little pat.
Yeah.
Say thank you. If you've got a name for the car, say it. I've had names for all of my cars. Just give them a little pat and say thanks.
As soon as you name something, you fucking it starts to have a life of its own. This is how we're gonna have the machines rise up against us, P-Flex.
No,
this is how it starts.
We don't do that with our car and stuff like that, but we do that with our pets. It's like a family
really?
Thing.
Really? That's weird.
So like the big thing now is that we forgot to tell Terry that we got a new car and he's on vacation right now. He's at my in-laws. I have to go pick him up on Friday. So my kids and my wife are worried that he's going to be mad because we didn't tell him we got a new car and I have to go pick him up in the new car and bring him back.
Right.
So like it's just like this funny thing, right? Like they almost like... they build him up to be like a person, sort of. Like,
yeah,
to give
yeah.
him a personality that he may or may not have, sort of thing.
So you're treating your pets even higher than your car.
Well, rightfully so, I think.
What's the name of your car? I think we should name it now, or maybe the audience.
I haven't named my car.
You can't just come up with one. It has to. It's a developing thing.
Yeah.
Like my first car, the VW Golf, he was the Red Baron because he was red.
No, it's like a little nickname that pops up.
Yeah, but
it's not developing.
It's like a spur of the moment. No, it's part of
it's
the
like
car's
one
personality.
One time I ran over a carrot, so you know it's called
carrot.
Yeah,
so you call it carrot crusher.
It's like I think when you name your car something and you give it like you hype it up to have like this like interesting lore and backstory and stuff, it turns into one of those situations, kind of like Ratty and the Nonce from Afterlife. You know, like to the inner circle involved, it means something, and to everybody else, they're just like, "What the fuck?" Like,
yeah,
they're like, "Oh yeah, let's get the Red Baron." Oh yeah, the Red Baron, and then everybody else is like,
"There's like lore that comes attached to the car."
Yeah. It's like it's hard to explain, but you know, it's like you and your gang sort of like big something up, but nobody else has any context for it, sort of thing.
That's part of the attachment.
I like that. That's good. Fucking Red Baron.
Oh man, he was a fucking handful. He gave me problems.
Get that fucking handful on the road.
Broke
you know?
Down on me multiple times.
Really?
Bless him. Yeah.
Fuck.
It was very old. It was a 1986 Golf that had spent over 20 years in a lady's shed. She was from Jersey. We have definitely spoken about this before.
We have, yeah.
Jesus.
And she just had it in her garage. It had a lot of mold on it.
Right.
A lot of it didn't work, but the tape deck worked and it went fairly fast. And it was a Golf, which is they're fun to drive. It was an automatic. Everything was
given
broken.
A new lease of life.
Yeah, and I like took him out before. You know, I took him out. He'd been out to pasture for such a long time, took the Red Baron out, and he did make some pretty big drives, but he did die. But we replaced him with Sven, a Saab 9-3, best car I ever owned. Fantastic, wonderful car. Loved Sven, but he died as well. Sold him to a lad.
What kind of features did that one have?
What do you
inside?
Mean he died? Did you put him down? Did you drive him off a cliff?
No.
Like, did he have a heart attack and die surrounded by his family in hospital?
It had very good climate control. It had a CD, multi-CD changer. It was like a 6-CD changer or something, which at the time, you know, I didn't have a iPod or anything. So
I think climate control is incredible.
Oh, it was great. It was so cool in that car. It was all leather interior. Yeah. Incredibly fast car. Incredibly fast.
Very nice.
Beautiful. So he died because every time he went over a speed bump, it creaked. And the mechanic was like, what's happened here is the chassis of the car is actually cracked. And that creaking is the car actually giving up and dying. And it's like such a big structural problem. You're going to have it put down. So I was like, okay. So we had Sven scrapped.
How much longer does he have?
No, that was literally my question. He was like, he could go at any time.
He's got
I was
about
like,
six or 7 months at the most.
So I was driving through Shepherd's Bush and Sven just conked out in the middle of a crossroads. Wouldn't come back on. Had to wait a second. The immobilizer had gone on him. he came back to life, luckily. It could have been really bad. So that
could have been
point,
worse. What if it was like at a train crossing
exactly.
that he conked out and you had to evacuate and then the train came by?
But I couldn't have handled that. It would have been terrible.
Smashed the shit out of him.
It would have been horrible. So we scrapped him. And I traded him. Part of the trade was I got a Honda Accord from this guy. It was like a Honda Accord estate. And that was the green machine, because this thing had like 150,000 miles on it, stank of oil because the guy's brother had used it to transport car parts up and down the motorway for years. This thing was incredible. We drove to Luxembourg the day after I got this car, and the exhaust fell off halfway there. Like the exhaust literally split. And when that happens, the car still runs, but the noise it makes is unbelievable because the muffler's gone. Like the bit that baffles the sounds, like a silencer on the end of a gun. When that's gone, it just goes. Blah, blah, blah. So we're driving through these really quiet Luxembourgish towns, and people are turning their heads like, oh, what's this sports car coming around the corner? This thing's so loud. And there comes this beaten up old Honda Accord. Blah, 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 like that. It was amazing.
Fuck.
So yeah, he lasted a little while. And then we got the CRV. E-Honda, named after the Street Fighter character, and he was very good, and now we're on Erica. She's the cash guy. She's fantastic. So
nice. Yes. What year is your cash guy? I rented a cash guy one time, and it was pretty nice.
It's a
actually.
Really nice car.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a very ham radio chat you guys
it
have
is.
Fucking engaged
but
in.
But I guarantee
here. Holy
you
shit.
That there will be people out there who are nodding along with this, because when you own a car and love it, you never forget. Everyone's got stories and attachments to their cars. A very special thing that people own.
It's true.
If yeah. only I owned a really good car, that would be
one
something.
Day, P-Flex.
People
one day,
keep saying
you can
like,
own a Renault Scenic.
Well, I was when I was saying about electric cars not being like big enough for like a family car. Everybody's like, "Well, you get the Tesla something something or other." It's like, well. Man, those are brand new and expensive. Like,
yeah.
I didn't want a brand new expensive car. Like, I'm fine just getting a used. Like, I'm not really into cars, you know? Like,
how many miles do you do a year, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I have no clue.
How big's like, Jersey? Everything's been in half an hour.
Right. I do like 2,000 to 3,000 miles a year, which is nothing. Like,
yeah.
That's the, when the insurance company says, how many miles do you do a year? And I tell them 2,000 or 3,000, it's like, oh. Like the category for that is like 0 to 5,000. It's like fuck all. Like there's a category for that. I don't drive my car very often, but when we do, it's like to go on holiday or something like that. So it's got it's got a nice thing about it.
You drive down to Bristol once a year?
More than that. I would have come
maybe,
down
maybe
already this year, but
I would have. But
you guys had this coronavirus.
Fucking hippopotamus was on fire. Somebody has to fucking extinguish it. I just couldn't make it, all right?
All right, that's enough podcast. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks for
listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.